The Healthy Alabama podcast is sponsored by Enroll Alabama, a program that enrolls Alabamians in the health insurance marketplace.
Enroll Alabama is a project of AIDS Alabama. For more information, visit the website AIDSAlabama.org. Welcome to another episode of the Healthy Alabama podcast, sponsored by Enroll Alabama, which is a project of AIDS Alabama. Our good friends based in Birmingham doing great work on the front lines here of this state. I'm David Person, and it is always good to be with you for the Healthy Alabama podcast. We produce this podcast in partnership with our friends at WJOU FM, Oakwood University Radio, Praise 90.1 FM on the beautiful campus of Oakwood University. Our guest for this episode of the Healthy Alabama podcast is Bhavani Kakani. She is the CEO of Ashakiran, which you will sometimes hear me and Bhavani pronounce as Ashakiran. Ashakiran, pronounced both ways. And it is a great organization based here in North Alabama that serves the entire state of Alabama. And Bhavani, in beginning our interview, explains first and foremost what the words Ashakiran mean.
It means a ray of hope.
Yes.
That one single ray that gives a hope to someone that is going through crisis. And Ashakiran provides culturally sensitive services to those individuals that are going through trauma and stressful situations such as domestic violence or sexual assault or any type of crisis. And we serve culturally diverse communities, such as foreign-born.
So what initially attracted me to Ashakiran is the lofty mission of helping. I know you talked about, generally speaking, anyone who's in need, but I know your very specific focus is women and children who are coming out of domestic violence situations, mm-hmm. sexual assault situations. Mm-hmm. And that's what really attracted me to Ashakiran years ago. Mm-hmm. And also the fact that you were servicing foreign-born, mm-hmm. as you said, persons. So I think some people may wonder, why the distinction? What are the unique challenges that a person who was not born in the United States may have in a domestic violence situation or with a sexual assault situation that a person who's born here may not have to deal with? What's the distinction? Why the distinction?
Okay, first let me say something. Have you been traveling? Have you gone out of the country? Just imagine oneself to be in another country where you cannot speak the language as well as you want to be, so you are understood. So one of the main things is language is a big problem. Okay, and the support system. When we go out of the country, we don't have the support system as we do, you know, when we're home, you know, where you have grown up. And also the systems like the police and ambulance services and all these are new when we go to some place, even though we are familiar with it.
Mm-hmm.
So the same way, when the foreign-born are here, even if they are citizens or not, it is, you know, takes time to learn the ropes. Because if you have an experience with the systems where they have come from, and they think it may be the same way with the food, same way with the religion. So whatever is the popular or whatever we do here, they may not understand. When I say they, the people that are here, the foreign-born,
mm-hmm.
or even the children of foreign-born, because they go through the culture. You know, the culture is you can say it's like an iceberg. You have a tip of the ice, and then you have really deep dive into the culture too. But we are trying to do is provide at least tip of the iceberg, such as food, religion, and the way they you know, clothes, the way they dress, and things like that. So that way they feel comfortable while they're healing.
Mm-hmm.
Because the healing is the best part, or the part that we need to help them to heal while they are being serviced by Asha Kiran. So when we say culturally sensitive, that's what we are trying to do, to overcome some of those barriers. Let me give you an example. Apparently, a lady went to a shelter, and she was, all her clothes were bloody, and she was not able to speak her language, you know, English, but she can speak in her language. And the shelter was very nice. However, they gave her clothes, they gave her food. She did not eat, she did not bathe, but she bathed finally and put the same clothes on, the bloody clothes. They did not understand why she is doing that. So unless, I think it took a couple of days for them to get a good interpreter, then they found out she did not know how to wear the clothes. She's not comfortable.
She didn't know how to wear them.
Wow. Well, yeah, because,
okay.
Yeah.
Because, again, of the differences in culture.
Yes.
So I think that's a great example, and hopefully that will help to enlighten people. And as we talk, continue our conversation today, I'm sure that people will gain a greater understanding. Someone who's coming here as an immigrant to start a new way of life, from what I've heard and from what I've seen, the experiences can be dramatically different because, first of all, the circumstances under which people come here are different. One of our speakers at Ray of Hope, the annual event that Asha Kiran does to raise money, talked about how she was in an arranged marriage and coming here, under the guise of this arranged marriage, she discovered her husband was someone completely different than what she had expected him to be. And I'm talking about, I believe this was our doctor friend from Atlanta. Can you share her story a little bit?
Well, I cannot really share her story because she likes to keep it confidential.
Well, I mean, speak sort of generally.
Yes, just generally. Yes. You know, arranged marriages itself are, you don't know the person. Even when we date and know the person, when you live with a person, it's entirely different. Many of the times it takes that time to adjust to one another. Just like her, you know, she found him to be entirely different than what she had seen him very superficially, I think once or twice. Same way it can happen in the arranged marriages or even the marriages if they had gone through a little bit of a courtship, not like really dating. So they can be entirely different, whether it's a man or a woman. A man can come out with different things, and they may think, say, for example, you can tell by my accent, I'm a foreigner, in the sense I was born in another country, India,
right.
And my marriage is arranged. And we've been married 53 years. But why I'm saying is not all the arranged marriages may have some parts of domestic violence and actually have a really great domestic violence. They put it under wrap because they suffer in silence because the society sees them as a successful marriage. When I say 53 years, oh, arranged marriages are good. They are work, just like any other marriage.
Sure.
And sometimes when you have violence in the marriage, it's hard to get away because you are looked to keep that marriage going, especially if you have children. So it's not just the family itself. Even the society looks down. When I got married, probably there were only 2% divorces in India. But now there are probably about 20% or more. I don't know the exact number. So as you can see, the freedom and the education and also feeling that they can survive on their own, making people to get away from the violence. But still, it's very hard. It's very hard.
And I was thinking, and I was trying to get to this point mm-hmm. to try to bring some clarity here. Mm-hmm. When you come from another country mm-hmm. into a new environment, you don't know the system, you don't know how it works, you may not speak the language or speak it well. Mm-hmm. If you do speak it, you may not speak it well. And so you're automatically sort of isolated in yes. several different ways. And so then if you're in a situation where the spouse is abusive, generally that also means the spouse is very controlling. Mm-hmm. They may control not only control your behaviors, in terms of your interactions with that person, but they may also, they're also likely going to be controlling your finances. Mm-hmm. They're going to control your movement mm-hmm. so that you can't come and go freely. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And it's very easy when you're in an unfamiliar country
yes.
to be isolated even beyond the actions of the abuser. So it just makes it even easier, I think, for that person to be lost yes. and trapped, right?
Yes. Yes, definitely. Say, for example, when I came here, I did not speak any English. I speak with a thick accent. Just imagine a foreigner coming in. And you're trying to learn and adjust to the society. And I was a dependent on my husband. He came on an exchange visitor. Okay, of course, we were married. But I'm giving this scenario so you can...
Yes.
You can, you know, see how others. So sometimes when you cannot speak, you do not have any family here, the intimate partner can control you through visa or through children or through finances, as you said. And also they will find some other hook. Say, for example, the person may not have come with that person. You know, the intimate partner
right.
may have come as a dependent. And then it's a hook. I'm going to report you to the immigration because you are not listening to me because you do not have a visa like me. You know, same thing. We had a client and that person was a citizen. The intimate partner was a citizen. But when they got married, her visa was expired. And he's supposed to apply for the permanent resident visa. He never did. So he used that as a hook, saying, you are going to be in trouble because you don't have a visa. You are illegally here. So that's, and it's done many times.
Domestic
violence.
In
many situations.
Right. Right. Mm-hmm. Domestic violence is a very real phenomenon for U.S.-born mm-hmm. people. Mm-hmm. In fact, I was looking at some statistics recently, Bhavani. 1 in 3 women mm-hmm. Report that they have been sexually assaulted.
Yes.
You know, so that's just one aspect of it. 1 in 7 men say that they have been subject to sexual assaults or physical violence in relationships. So
yes.
this is common in the United States already.
Mm-hmm.
But then when you add the extra dimension of being a foreign-born person who's not familiar with the culture, not familiar with the language, it exacerbates and increases the problems, right?
Yes, it does. Actually, there was a research done in Boston area. It was the South Asians. And they said... At least they were abused at least one time physically in their married life or intimate partner.
All of the respondents to the survey?
Yes, 40% of them.
Oh, 40%?
40% of them. So it's more than 30% you were saying.
Okay.
Or 30,
okay.
Yes.
Okay.
And it can differ, you know, depending upon. So you can say that because they're here, probably they're suffering a little bit more. You know, they're isolated. They cannot talk to other people. They do not have the family that can get the support. Again, family can be supportive, not supportive, depending upon how you look at it.
And when you say how you look at it, you mean what the culture dictates about family interactions?
Yes, yes. And also, sometimes the family may want you to stick together even though you're going through violence and all that, because they think it's a shame. And it happens quite a bit in the extended families.
You know, that's another great point. I heard about someone recently who, and this is not a classic example of the kind of person that Asha Kiran would be helping, because this person was born in the United States and speaks English very well. But as a child, she was raised in another country, even though she was born here. And so now she's in an interesting situation where, as an unmarried female, and now I'm trying to get to what you were just talking about in terms of what cultures dictate in terms of the place of a person in a family. This person, from what I've heard, is in a situation where, because she is an unmarried female, she is considered to be, in her family culture, at the lowest end of the scale.
Yes.
So she's expected to be, even though this person is in, she's a fully grown woman, you know, in her 30s or 40s. She is expected to be like a maid, basically. And she's expected to be, even though she's a fully grown woman, she's really treated in many ways like a teenager, you know, with demands being placed on her time, and she's got some freedom, but not as much as she should have as a fully grown person. It seems to me like this goes to what you're saying about how sometimes cultures, and I'm not even saying this is all foreign cultures. I think sometimes cultures in the United States have the same sort of dynamics to it. Do you agree with that?
Oh, yes, definitely. You know, we have cultural diversity and then cultural nuances. If you come from West Coast to East Coast or North to South, there are, because there are cultures. Or you go to one church, you go to another church. You know, there are nuances there. So I agree with it, definitely. Say, even we can take black belt in Alabama. You bring someone from black belt to a big city, it takes some adjustment. Because they may not understand this. You know, it's the same thing.
Right.
Yes.
That's a great
point.
So
we can say that foreign-born, but no, that's why we are saying culturally diverse populations that we are helping. Because
go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, because we realize the culture is what we make of, you know, what people we are going with, or we are in a group, or we eat with, or we play with. That itself makes a culture. You know, we pray with, or school with. You know, what language. But you know, the example you had given, it can happen to a person in some cultures, also when they are divorced.
Yes. Yeah.
So the same thing. They are outcasted sometimes. They may not be invited to certain things. So they were scared of that too, to come out of that violent situation.
That's a great point. That's a great point. That family pressures and expectations will keep people trapped. And you don't have to be a foreign-born person to experience that. I think that's a great point.
Yes.
Go ahead. I'm sorry.
May I say something?
Yes.
Also, you know, you were talking about arranged marriages. Even if it is not arranged marriages, they worry. If one of my child is divorced or had an abusive situation, is my second one going to get married? Are my other kids are going to get married? How is that going to influence them? So that's another pressure that they have.
Yes.
So
how are people in these situations, how are they referred to Asha Kiran? How do you learn about them?
Usually, you know, by mouth, I guess, you know, person to person, because we do not advertise. Now we are thinking we need to advertise. Our shelter is the only shelter in Alabama that says we are culturally sensitive. However, we serve all 67 counties, and we train. Yes.
I didn't know that. Yes. I didn't know you served all 67 yes. counties. So you serve the whole state of Alabama.
Whole state of Alabama.
I didn't know that.
But we work with all the shelters also. Okay. We give them culturally sensitive trainings. We try to provide them interpreters. You know, we're trying to make the systems and, you know, to give the services better, to enhance the services to these victims. So we provide culturally sensitive training to all the first responders. And they have been very good in Madison County. We're trying to get inroads into Jefferson County and Montgomery County and Mobile County because they are bigger ones, you know. So we are trying to, but we will take, we had gotten clients, you know, from different places. And we, and also confidentiality is so important because, you know, when we are born and raised here, our community is much bigger that we know.
Yes.
But sometimes we may even have just 100 people in that community. So the extra confidentiality is much necessary. So we will find ways to bring them, and we have layers of confidentiality where we go through, which I cannot, you know, say.
Sure, we understand. So the idea, of course, is that you want to protect the identity of the abuse survivor. You want to protect not only their identity, but you want to ensure that their whereabouts are kept confidential so that the abuser cannot find them and try to take them back or coerce them or seduce them into coming back, only to subject them to more abuse. So you have, through word of mouth, a person who is in a in an abusive situation will find out about Asha Kiran. And these are mostly women, right?
Yeah, mostly, yes.
What percentage would you say are women? 90%?
Oh, yes, about 90%.
Okay. So a woman learns about Asha Kiran, and she reaches out to Asha Kiran.
We have a 24/7 Asha line, which means hope line. H-O-P-E line. So the number is 256-509-1882. So they can call. Also, we have a toll-free number. And you know, they can call from anywhere in the state.
So they call the number 256-509-1882. And then what happens? Just kind of describe the process. How do you rescue this person?
Okay. The process is first, if especially if they speak a language, when they can, if they can speak English or not, we need to find out what language can they speak. You know, if they speak English, we ask them if they are safe, and first go through the safety planning. Is it an emergency for them to come to the shelter? They need help. And if they are, somebody will go and, you know, first call 911 so that the police can go there too. And then they will meet them somewhere. But if it is not an emergency situation and the person calls, what they would do is they do a safety planning. So they have things ready when they need to get out of the house.
Okay. Now, when you say, when you say if it's not an emergency, you mean they're not in immediate danger.
Yes.
But they still are in danger, sort of generally speaking.
Yes.
Okay. So that's why you then look at executing a safety plan to help them so that they don't end up in a situation where the danger is immediate.
Yes.
Okay.
Say, for example, maybe this is how I should approach this. Say an Indian lady with an autistic child, calls First of all, they may not call. It's because of emergency. Sometimes they want to know if this organization really can do things, you know. But we have a program called New Alabamian Program. I'm kind of going about to say it.
Okay.
Where we go to culturally, you know, diverse communities and say how to reach for 911 or how to reach any of the systems. And we try to say them that the systems work okay. What you experienced where you were, it's different. Here, on a daily basis, it's okay. There are times it may not work, but you can call. So we give them the school and also the other systems like police and ambulance and health, you know, healthcare systems and all that. Because if we say domestic violence and sexual assault, they're not going to come. So we call them and then we educate them on that. So they know about it. So they can contact if there is a challenge or an issue. So they can find out that girl I'm talking about with the autistic child, she can find out through that and then call 911. Okay? 911 can then see what language they're speaking. If she cannot speak English, they can call Asha Line and get an interpreter. Okay? And some of the police have language lines too. But they can get an interpreter. And then when she calls the Asha line, which is 509-1882, someone will figure out what language she speaks and they can get an interpreter and talk and say, how are you? Is this an emergency or do you need to come to your shelter? Because the client has to agree to come. You yes. cannot just go and push.
Okay.
Okay? Because it's all depends on what the client want to do. You know, the victim or the survivor.
So Asha Kiran is not going to go to the person's home and extract them.
Yes, we can.
Oh, you can?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
Yes.
Okay.
And we have done that several times,
okay.
actually.
Okay.
But usually you want to call 911. They may not call 911. They may not call the police because they do not want to say what's going on because it's outside. No.
Mm-hmm. So if you go to extract someone, you're going to go with the police are going to accompany you? Is that how it works?
We have not had police either.
Oh, really?
Sometimes.
Oh.
Okay. But we advise everyone to have a police.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you said earlier, there's something I want to come back to. You said earlier that if the person knows that Asha Kiran is providing a service to help with domestic violence or sexual assault, that they may not call. Why would they not call?
I'm not saying they may not call. They may not call because they want to suffer in silence due to the pressures.
Oh, for that reason.
Through.
Okay.
But
in other words,
reason.
Pride or
yes.
or fear.
Yeah, fear.
Okay.
Or pressure from the family. They may not be accepted.
Okay.
Or, you know, pressure from... It can be their mom and dad or in-laws mm-hmm. or whatever. But they may not also, may not call because they don't want to say what's going on in the house to outsiders.
Because of shame.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
So.
That's so sad.
Yeah. That's why
so
when
sad.
We say New Alabamian Programs, when they say domestic violence or sexual assault or human trafficking, they're not going to come to listen to that. Because people may perceive, oh, they may be having a problem. That's why they are going to that. That's why we try to do in general and then bring the other things in to increase them.
How many people do you serve every year?
About 180 to 200, usually about 180, new people.
Mm-hmm. Okay, now that's in North Alabama or the whole state?
Whole state.
Okay. 180 to 200 people, and you're saying those are new every year?
Domestic violence, some of them are new, some of them are old.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay, so some of them may be people that you've helped before.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yeah. We have about almost close to 600 clients, I think, now.
Oh, currently.
But not all of them are, you know, domestic violence.
Right. So current caseload of mm-hmm. 600. Okay. Why do you think it is, and I'm asking you this because I'm assuming that with all of your years of working with this very challenging population, that you, maybe you have some insight into why it is that family members who probably think and say that they love this person mm-hmm. would want the person to stay in an abusive situation.
You know, it all, again, culture. Okay? One thing is that if you take, for example, someone like India, you know, some country like India, they may think that it's because you did something in the previous lives and you are going through, you're exhausting what you had done. You may have to go through some pain. You know, some people believe that.
Yeah, this is out of the Hindu yes. religious
yes. philosophy.
Hindu yes, philosophy.
I mean, again, we don't know what it is. And it may be the same thing with some other, you know, philosophies. Or, but again, in India, that's part of it because there is a karma theory.
Right, right.
Yeah. And now we use karma quite a bit here.
Right, yeah. In other words, what you've done in a previous life mm-hmm. may be the reason why you have to suffer this because this is what you have earned
yes.
in a sense.
Yes.
Now, I know in the Christian belief system, there's no belief in karma mm-hmm. in that way, and there's no belief in reincarnation. Mm-hmm. But I have heard people say, you know, when they have learned about someone being in an abusive situation, they'll say something like, well, what did you do?
Mm-hmm.
What did you do to cause this?
Yes. You know, that is interestingly the main thing many people ask. They don't see... They think that, say, for example, we're talking about woman. Did you not cook something right? Or mm-hmm. did you not do something? You know, it's always victim is the one that is pointed out.
Right.
Many of the times, maybe I should say.
Right.
Right. It's the expectation. It's the right. It is duty. You know, we can name it many things. But male dominance has... kind of taken that and then given some different responsibilities, they, you know, what they think is responsibility, even if they are in a violent situation, they think they are propagating it.
I'm so glad you said it. I was just thinking it, really. When you said it, I was thinking the term patriarchy came to my mm-hmm. mind. And I know a lot of people cringe at that or dismiss that, but I think if people are honest... And that's what I'm suggesting. I think a lot of people are dishonest with themselves mm-hmm. about the reality that we live in a society here in this country, and this is prevalent yes. in other countries, mm-hmm. where it is believed that men have the right to have certain expectations mm-hmm. of their spouses or their girlfriends mm-hmm. as it relates to sex, mm-hmm. as it relates to upkeep of a house, mm-hmm. as it relates to finances.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm sure there are probably a number of other things that can be added to the list.
Mm-hmm.
And so consequently, if a woman is not performing
mm-hmm.
in a way that a man feels is acceptable mm-hmm. or that meets whatever the standard is that man has,
mm-hmm.
then unfortunately, I think there are a lot of men still, even in 2018, who believe they have the right
mm-hmm.
to discipline
mm-hmm.
it, whether it's through emotional abuse or verbal abuse or physical abuse or sexual abuse, mm-hmm. that woman.
Yes. And, you know, talking about sex, you know, many of them think it's a right in a marriage, you know, or a relationship. So the same way, now, maybe in the olden days, they thought that, but now, I'm not rationalizing what they thought was right, but what I'm saying is, now, the woman and men, they both work.
Right.
It's not like woman was staying home and mm-hmm. taking care of these things and satisfying the needs of the husband or needs of the children or... And which is fine. It's 24-hour job for a woman. But now they work outside of the you know, home. And they are doing 40 hours a week, whatever, and they come home and they still have to do their job.
Mm-hmm.
Many of the times. Of course, things are changing and some men do help. And I'm not saying that. But still the expectation is woman is the one that need to do.
Right. Yeah, we're not saying, and I know as a man, I'm certainly not saying that all men are bad.
No.
But what I am saying is that I think there is
the notion
embedded in this culture mm-hmm. and in many other cultures around
yes.
the world, the notion, as you just said, that women are supposed to do certain things.
Mm-hmm.
And if they don't do those things mm-hmm. in the context of a relationship or a family, that a man is justified
mm-hmm.
in being abusive.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's never been right. It wasn't right 20 years ago.
Yes.
It wasn't right 1,000 years ago.
Yes.
And it's not right today.
Yes.
So what is your, we're almost out of time mm-hmm. here. What is your advice for a woman or a man
mm-hmm.
who may find themselves, even though we know that it's rare,
mm-hmm.
You know, with men, but it does happen. What is your advice to a woman or a man who finds herself or himself in an abusive situation and they are a foreign-born person? What advice would you give them?
I will ask them to first think of working it out with the person and go through some psychological help.
Even if their spouse is an abuser or their intimate partner is an abuser?
Well, you know, actually, if it is really serious, no. No.
In other words, well, now, what do you say really serious? What do you mean? Physical?
Physical or verbal or, you know, emotional.
Right.
No.
But if they're just not getting along.
Yes. Of course, you have to start with the counseling or
right,
something.
Right. If they're just not getting along.
Yes. You know,
if that's
that
all
is
it
the
is.
Start.
Right.
Yeah, that is the start. And it can go.
But once it escalates to abuse, whether it's emotional, physical, verbal, what's your advice to them?
Kala Shakir. The reason I'm saying that is because you need to have the language and the systems are good here, and then you need to get an interpreter and there is help. So my advice to them is find an organization that they can work with and they can go to and they can learn how to be safe. And then how to manage themselves to stand on their own feet. Whether it is a man or a woman, it does not matter. But women are the ones that are the mostly affected by this.
Mm-hmm.
So if they need to get out, they have to know how to adjust to that fact. I can say get out, but it is up to the client how they are the victim or the survivor. How can they stand on their own feet? And they can definitely get help. But it takes time. Even the children, they're not going to be away. They can keep the children. But they have to work through the systems to do that. Many of them fear they're going to take the children away. And it is better to be in a non-abusive situation in raising kids.
Yes. Yes.
Okay. So if they want to, if it is up to them, the victims and survivors. But however, my advice or one of the options they have is to be on their own feet, to get out of it. And then they can still work with the therapy or whatever they want to do, but they need to heal.
Yes.
So that their children can be better off.
So any person, foreign-born or not, but
mm-hmm.
especially a foreign-born person who finds themselves trapped in an abusive relationship, needs to seek help.
Oh, definitely.
Asha Kiran here in Alabama, Asha
mm-hmm.
Kiran is probably the best organization for
mm-hmm.
you
mm-hmm.
To do that, because Asha Kiran is culturally sensitive and culturally aware and can help to facilitate language issues and whatnot?
Yes. We let them practice their own religion.
Okay.
We take them to church or, you know,
temple
mosque
or
yeah. Hindu temple or Jewish temple. So
mm-hmm.
we do not say anything to them. you cannot do it,
right.
You know, in those, except candles in the shelter to be safe.
Oh,
you know?
Okay. Well, that makes sense.
But
sure.
We
sure.
try to give them their own food, whether it's halal meat or kosher, you know, things like that. So the food was, they don't have to worry, and we want them to heal. So we will try to provide them, you know, take them to the ESL classes, English as second language classes. Mm-hmm. We have free therapists that they can go to. And first of all, it's confidential.
So it's safe.
It's safe.
Yeah.
Safe and confidential.
Asher Curran is I think, a tremendous organization. The telephone number is 256-509-1882.
Yes.
And there's a website also?
Yes. It's asherkiranonline.org.
So that would be ASHAKIRAN online.org.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Bhavani Kakani, my friend, you are doing what I call God's work. And I'm very, very honored and glad that you would join us on the Healthy Alabama podcast today.
Thank you for giving this opportunity.
The Healthy Alabama podcast is sponsored by Enroll Alabama, a subsidiary of AIDS Alabama, a great organization in this state working on the front lines, serving people across the state. I'm David Person, your host and producer. We produce this program in partnership with WJOU, Oakwood University Radio, Praise 90.1 FM, located on the beautiful campus of Oakwood University. Our theme music was produced by my man, DJ Bailey. And we've got a Facebook page, the Healthy Alabama Podcast Facebook page. In fact, we're beginning to post now photos and other information from our vegan tour of Los Angeles. We're going to be going on those periodically and talking about them. So make sure that you like the Healthy Alabama Podcast Facebook page. That's a good way to keep up with the podcast, with the episodes. But of course, you know, you can always download the episodes on iTunes, Stitcher, or Google Play through subscription. And of course, you can stream it or download it at the WJOU website, wjou.org. Until next time, be healthy.